in Chicago and to all of our online family, God bless you. I'm so so excited to be able to share the Word of God with you today. Very, very important message. We are in week two of a series titled Holy Suggestions. Everybody say Holy Suggestions. Now, the reason why that means so much to us, if you've been here for the last, let's say, 6 weeks or so, is because we just got off of a series titled Rebuke the Devil. And rebuking the devil is all about resisting and rejecting demonic suggestions. There are all of these suggestions that we and our children live with every day. And so we're supposed to resist what the enemy is suggesting, but how many know that's not enough? That's not enough. We also need to follow holy suggestions, which come from the Spirit of God. And 70% of those kind of holy suggestions, they fundamentally come to us in the form of wisdom. And so we're doing a series that comes out of the book of Proverbs, and our focus is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. And I really want to encourage you, please, please, as your pastor who loves you, please study the book of Proverbs. Study wisdom. The book of Proverbs is kind of like these bite-sized gifts of wisdom, suggestions from God that will lead to incredible blessing in our lives. How many know God's way is the best way? And so the book of Proverbs is all about that. But let me just give you a definition for wisdom. We mentioned this last week. Wisdom is aligning our living and thinking according to God's truth, purposes, and design. Your life was created with a purpose. Your life, if you're watching online, there was a design before the foundations of the earth. And God, when He said be fruitful and multiply, it was based on the plan of God for your life. And God, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, wants to guide you into the fulfillment of that purpose, of that fruitfulness, of that design. Now, here's the key. Wisdom is accepting and choosing God's perspective over your own. Okay? We have our perspective. We have cultural perspectives. We have all sorts of different philosophies. What wisdom is wisdom is actually accepting and choosing God's perspective, and over time comes the understanding. You don't always get it in the beginning, but sooner or later, the lights start to turn on when you trust God. And a little bit more about this, when you consider the book of Proverbs, wisdom in the Bible is taught through comparison. If you read through the Proverbs, there are, I believe, a couple thousand of them. When you read through the Proverbs, one of the things that you notice is that the book of Proverbs primarily will contrast and compare different character types. There are actually 9 different character types in the Bible. But for the purpose of today's message, we're just focusing on the difference between being a fool and a wise person. Okay? Now, the book of, it literally means comparison. Could you throw that up for me? So it comes from the Hebrew word, mashal, which means comparison. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there's a series of repeated contrasts and comparisons designed to inform and train our soul's senses in perceiving truth accurately. Again, I said this last week. Many of us grew up with the phrase, knowledge is power. That's not true. Wisdom is power. Because Many people have a lot of knowledge, but they live out very foolish lives. And it's because they don't necessarily accept what God says, and they don't train their soul to perceive the truth accurately. And so we're gonna break this down by starting with Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. And there's so much here. I want you to go back to this message. Please go back to the messages and drink them in. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 13, is as follows. Blessed are those who find everyone wisdom. Those who gain understanding, for she is far more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a, say these three words with me, ready? Tree of life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. So wisdom is described by bringing about four key blessings. I want to go through this very quickly here. Could you throw up the next slide for me? Wisdom is prescribed by bringing about four key blessings. When you follow wisdom, wisdom will be profitable to you. What does that mean? It means that wisdom will be good for today. Wisdom will be good for tomorrow. Wisdom will continue to add value and blessing to your life. Secondly, wisdom is precious to you. It's more precious than diamonds and jewels and rubies, etc. It means that wisdom is rare and valuable, uniquely valuable. See, here's what you and I need to understand. God offers you suggestions that if you take them, you're going to reap things that are uniquely valuable. There's family, and then there's a really blessed family. You see, there's like regular life. Think about all the levels of life. You have animal, vegetable, right? They're living, but that's not the abundant life that God has for us. How many know we should live above the vegetable and above animals? How many would say amen? So now, how good does that life get? How unique, how special does that life become? When you live by wisdom, it becomes, he gives you something that is precious, which means uniquely valuable. Lastly, pleasant. What does pleasant mean? It means bringing joy and laughter. Christians should walk around full of joy. Christians should be able to laugh. If you're a Christian and you don't have a sense of humor, something is missing. We should be able to smile. We should be able to celebrate. We should be able to enjoy life because God is good. Somebody say, God is good. Come on in Chicago. Let's put our hands together and say, God is good. Yes, he is. It should be natural to us to celebrate God because he's so, so good. And when you follow God's ways, it becomes easy to smile. It becomes easy to celebrate, to laugh. Because when you're following wisdom, he makes life pleasant. And then lastly, wisdom is peaceful. It means that God wants your life full of peace and calm, as opposed to stress and strife. You know why our lives are so stressful sometimes? You ready? Lack of wisdom. Many times, we go through so much difficulty because we lack wisdom when the Bible freely offers it. One of the things that I was praying about all week was that God would give us the ability to really let the Word of God be a mirror today. Because I'm telling you right now, if you step into wisdom, you start to step into what's profitable, what's precious, what's pleasant and peaceful. It is, that's the way it goes. When God is in it, how many know it is blessed? But we have to accept and follow wisdom. And here's the thing that's so amazing about this. Could you put that slide back on for me? Here's what's so cool about it is that these four things are the different fruits of the, everyone, tree of life. The Bible says wisdom is a tree of life. Now, tree of life is a big deal in the scriptures. The tree of life is all the way from the beginning. I want to take you in a moment to a couple of places in Genesis so that you could understand that this contrast between wisdom and foolishness was from the beginning of time. It's part of the way God designed things. Could you put up the next slide for me very quickly? So it says in Genesis chapter 2, when everything was created, the Bible says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed." Your life should be like a fruitful garden. This is the way he designed it. A fruitful, wonderful, life-giving garden, nourishing garden, all sorts of plants, all sorts of vegetables. What does God want your life to look like? Like this amazing garden. And here's what the Bible says. It says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Here's where it begins. Very, very important. So the devil comes. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read a little bit more of this story, but let's get to it. So the devil comes on the scene. He starts to whisper in Eve's ear, and he deceives her into taking the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though God said, "Don't touch that tree." You understand? Instead of eating from the tree of life, everyone say tree of life, she chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, "Don't touch that tree." There are certain things you don't have to know. There are certain things you don't have to experience. In fact, it's a lack of wisdom to try out certain things. Somebody say amen. And so, but she went ahead, and that's where the fall came in. But from the very beginning, there were two choices, the choice of wisdom and the choice of the fool. And my prayer is that we would choose, even today, from the tree of life. That's the title of the message today, is choose the tree of life. This was from the very beginning. And now here's what I want to do before I pray. I have an illustration that came from a devotional that I shared with Josh and Sue and the boys when COVID hit. As soon as COVID hit, they were still in Chicago at the time. We said, come stay at the house, and they spent, maybe our first 4 or 5 days with us when we were locked down in Chicago. And so naturally, we did devotions in the morning, and notice that I said naturally. Naturally, we did devotions in the morning. That means that I opened up the Bible, and I read something to the boys. And then Josh would do it, or Chrissy or Susie on different days, but we always prayed with their kids. How many know it's good to read the Bible with your family? Come on, somebody say amen. Online, in Philadelphia, in Chicago. Come on, let's say amen to that. It's wisdom, and if you don't do it, it's not wisdom. Okay, so anyway, we did that, and I want to give you the Devo that the Lord gave me. It's a little bit unique. But I got all everybody's sneakers, and I actually put them on our table. And this big one is mine, 13. Okay. Josh has a normal foot. This is Josh's. Okay. So this is Wesley's today. It's funny. You know, it's crazy because when I walked in and I was looking at these sneakers, you know, in such a short time, his foot has gotten so big. They grow really fast. Thank you, sir. So, and James too. So imagine us in our PJs, and this is life. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about life. I'm talking about the heart of God for you. I'm talking about what He wants for your tomorrows and for your todays. Let's listen closely to what the Word of God says. So anyway, we all sit there, and I say to the boys, you know, the Bible says that we're called to run the race with perseverance, and life is a lot like a race. But here's the thing. Because of the family that you boys belong to, the starting line should not look like this. Okay, the starting line should actually look like this. And I'm going to tell you why, and then we'll pray. The starting line should actually look like this, because when I grew up, my dad never read the Bible with me in the morning. My dad didn't even know the Lord. You understand? So Wesley and James shouldn't start where I start. But here's what's really powerful about today, what, like, talk about the providence of God. So everyone in Chicago, out of all the days, the man and woman of the hour in this illustration are actually here, because really my sneaker shouldn't be here. Really, Josh's dad's sneaker should be right here. And they actually, mom and dad are here in Philly. I know we greeted them already, but come on, in Chicago, let's put our hands together. And you know what? It's right that we would honor them, because they raised up this man of God. Come on, that's a leader in the kingdom of God. They did something. They sacrificed and served and honored and taught him biblical things, so that a couple of weeks ago, this is the truth. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was in the car. We were talking about something, and she almost started crying, saying, I just can't believe the man of God that he gave, you know, to our daughter. We praise God for all of our kids-in-law. And you know what? Josh is a man of God. He loves the Bible. He knows the Bible. He lives the Bible. You know what my favorite thing about Josh is? Is that Josh has been blessed with the ability to put other people first. So the other day, bear with me, because this is life. This is where the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. So the other day, I we've talked about his parents before, but he was saying, you know, when we first started, my dad was a teacher, but during the summer in the hot Georgia heat, and let me tell you something, you haven't been in heat till you've been in hot Georgia heat. I've been there because of baseball tournaments. And he used to kind of install insulation in basements in the summer, in the hot Georgia heat. Why? So that Josh could, you know, have the baseball glove or go to the camp and do the different things. And then they were also in the ministry, so they had like three different jobs and all of these different things, sacrificing, serving. But here's the key. So that, let's say this is Barry's sneaker. When Josh starts the race, Josh should not be starting here. How many know Josh should be starting right here? Not where he started, but better. How many want our children to be better, to be stronger in God and in the things of God? This is not automatic. It requires everyone wisdom. It requires wisdom. So here's, almost done with this, and then we'll pray. So here's the thing. So I'm talking to James and Wesley. Wesley, James, and I say to them, you shouldn't be starting over here. You should be starting over here. And James, you should be even learning. Wesley, you got to teach your little brother. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply means that we accept God's will and ways and follow it to such a deep and profound degree that we trust God to release a blessing into our lives that progresses us into fruitfulness instead of holding us back and starting the whole thing all over again, right? So now here's the thing, and then I want to pray. But I said to the boys, look, so you know what the key is, though, right? The key is that you two have to accept wisdom. You have to choose wisdom, because even though that's the case, if you don't accept wisdom, you start back here with everybody else. And so how many would agree that if you're starting a race, it's better to start up there than back here? Okay, look at what Confucius said. Like, of all people, but listen to this. I thought it was so good. I love the way he put it. Here's what Confucius said. Confucius said, by three methods, we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is the noblest, by taking in the word of God. By taking in wisdom, that's the best way. Second, by imitation, which is the easiest. And if you grew up with a godly mom and dad, then you need to praise God. Just because they're not perfect doesn't mean you aren't incredibly blessed. Somebody say amen. Nobody's perfect. But the last is, it says, and the third, by experience, which is the bitterest. Okay, the worst way to grow is through experience alone. Wouldn't it be wiser to learn from someone else's experience? So here's what I want to do. I want to pray today for ourselves, for our children, for our children's children. I want to pray that God would make our lives like a fruitful garden. I want to pray that he would give us the ability to choose the tree of life. So come on, let's lift our hands to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this time in your presence with your people. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is light and truth and freedom and power. And today, Lord, we not only want to reject demonic suggestions, but today we want to receive wisdom. I pray for the blessings of wisdom upon every house right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for that which is profitable and precious, O God, and pleasant, Lord. God, I pray, and peaceful. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone who's hearing this message, God, may those blessings be upon every house, every apartment, Lord God, every life. But God, we have to choose life. We have to take it and eat it. So bless this time and help us to receive wisdom in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so let me just say one more thing before I unpack this. What if you didn't grow up with a real godly dad? Because the truth of the matter is that we are living in a day where lives are so marred and so profoundly impacted by trauma, by parents with issues, by parents that didn't have good parents. And the thing that I want to encourage you today is, if you will receive wisdom, you need to know that what your earthly father, what your earthly mother couldn't give you, your heavenly Father wants to give you. Come on, somebody say amen. So just because you didn't get it then doesn't mean you can't get it now. We can get it now. The Holy Spirit is here now. The Bible is here right now. But we have to choose wisdom. We have to take it and eat it. How many would say amen to that? So we're going to go into unpacking the contrast right from the garden. We're going to unpack the contrast between the life of the foolish and the life of the wise. But before I do that, I want to give you two more proverbs, and then we'll unpack that. And this is key, something to remember. The Bible says there is a way that appears to be right. Okay, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. What does that mean? It means just because it looks good doesn't mean it is good. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean that it is good. You have to test. You have to match it up with what God says. How many know God is always right? Something that we have to teach our children. Just because it looks good, just because it sounds good, if it doesn't match the word of God, it never ends good. So there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Something can look really, really right, but if you go against wisdom, it actually leads to death. Another thing is this: a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. So one of the things that plagued them, one of the things that hit them, is carnal curiosity. See, a lot of people say, don't be telling me what I can try. Don't be telling me what I can taste. You know, why are you always putting all these restrictions on me? If God says something is not good for you, somebody say, it's just not good. Amen. And don't, wandering towards those things only bring trouble. So look, let's go back to the garden. Let's go to the very first time this choice was in play, and they didn't take the right choices. And here's the purpose of the next few moments. We won't be much longer, but the purpose of the next few moments is so that you could easily apply this to your own life. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. So you can easily apply this to your own life. So here we go. Adam and Eve make the wrong choice. And the choices that they made had certain outcomes. So there are the outcomes of wisdom, and then there are the outcomes of foolishness. I'm going to read this slowly so that we could learn some things. First the foolish side, then the wise side. So Genesis chapter 3, it says, The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they, everyone say it, hid. They hid themselves. If you got a Bible, you can underline it or mark it. Notice what happened. They hid themselves. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Just know, God's always reaching. Where are you? He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" Watch this. And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." So in this passage, there are three things that we see, and this contrasts directly with wisdom, Three outcomes of the foolish, and you can apply this to your life very, very easily, okay? How do you know if you've made a foolish decision? Here you go. Number one, foolish decisions always make you hide, okay? Foolish decisions always make you hide. When you make a foolish decision, instead of being bold and clear and open, guess what? You just start backing away. You know, you don't want to look people in the eye. You do someone wrong and they come by, you don't want to look them in the eye. You know, right? You grow up in the city. When someone doesn't look you in the eye, what's the first thing that happens? You don't trust them. Something's up. Right? Why? Because those types of decisions, they always make you hide. You're like, or sometimes let's say you get offended by someone, right? But you don't talk to them, and by not talking to someone that you love or someone that loves you, guess what? That's a foolish decision. How do families break up? How do friendships break up? How does so much break down? It's a foolish decision. Not that something went wrong, but that we avoid dealing with it. So then you, after a while, you say, hey, well, what's going on, man? Is everything okay? No, I'm good. Everything's fine. But little by little, what's really going on is you're hiding. I got news for you. If you're hiding from your wife, if you're hiding from your husband, if you're hiding from your parents, if you're hiding from your boss, chances are something foolish was done. Foolish decisions always make you hide. One of the questions you can ask yourself right now, whatever conflict that you have, is, am I hiding? Because this is universal. If you always are avoiding and running, the Bible says the righteous are bold as lions. But foolish decisions make you hide. They make you... Now, here's what happens. Hiding starts to make sense of the second thing that is always consistent with foolish decisions. Foolish decisions make you blame. Everybody say blame. Okay? Foolish decisions make you blame. So first of all, Adam takes the fruit. Wasn't an apple, by the way. We just know it was a fruit. Apples get a bad, you know, raw deal. But he takes the fruit, he eats it. And if you look in the Bible, just know Eve wasn't around when God said, don't touch that. Okay, if they could send me a keyboard player. Brothers, it was Adam's responsibility to lead. God said to Adam, don't touch this tree. But Adam gave up his responsibility and his authority all at the same time. You don't know what's part of a major thing that's broken in this world is that men don't like taking responsibility. Okay, I'm not just coming at the guys, ladies too. But this is a big deal. So God says, did you eat from that? What does Adam say? He said, the woman you gave me. Tell me that's never been said in marriage. Lord, that woman, you know, right? Blame, and I, over the years, man, you know, I have to tell you, as I've been preparing this and praying over this, I'm like, man, Lord, I wish I could, like, get married to Chrissy today, because I feel like I'd be a better husband. You know why? Because there's so many things I've learned, you know, over the years, and I feel like I would be a better dad today because of experience, and like the only thing that I can do is try to pass it on. And can I tell you something? Please, I beg you, okay? Do not live a life of blame. Blame is self-imposed weakness. When you blame, you're giving the authority that you should have to someone else. It doesn't mean somebody else can't be held accountable. I'm not saying that. But I am saying don't choose blame, because blame is self-imposed weakness. Listen to your argument. And if all you got is blame and you're not saying, well, what did God tell me to do? You're missing. I knew it was going to be, I hope they're shouting. I know you're shouting in Chicago because it's quiet in Philadelphia today. But I understand. This is deep, deep stuff. I was praying over and over and over again that today someone would stop blaming. To find imperfection in someone else and to ignore what you're, you know, like think about Adam. Adam, he stepped out of his God-given responsibility. He gave up his post. He avoided it. So like, God protect Wesley. I was saying this the other day in the car. I was driving in the car. I'm doing an art class, and I got, so you send in a piece of art, and then they give you a response. And I read it to my daughter, Susie, and I was like, wow, praise the Lord. I was like, usually they tear up everything I send in. They tear it up. You know what I mean? And I was like, hallelujah, this one is not as bloody as usual. You know what I mean? But I turned to the boys in the back because they were in the back. I said, boys, feedback is good. Everybody say feedback is good. And I say, you know what it means when you can't accept feedback? You know what you call a person who can't take feedback? You ready? They are a weakling. Because if you can't take feedback, you're not going to grow. You can't get better. Adam blames God. He blames Eve. He misses out on what God had for him. Which last thing that happens is when we choose foolishness, we forfeit the plan of God. We forfeit the will of God. You know, Adam should have spoken up, right? Adam should have said no, but he didn't. And what happens? He forfeited the fruitfulness of the garden. He forfeited the blessing of the garden. When we choose to hide and to blame, part of what happens is we miss out on the call of God. So wisdom's four P's, you know, profitable, precious, pleasant, peaceful. They're good, but they're not easy. Sometimes it takes doing what's hard by obeying God. And if we'll just obey God, when we obey God, what we're doing is we're choosing the tree of life. And that's what releases the blessing of God. So before I move on to the wisdom side and then we'll close, listen to this. Quick questions. Number one, are you hiding today? Are you hiding? Hiding in your finances, hiding in your marriage, hiding in your relationships. Are you hiding on the job? If you're hiding in the name of Jesus, stop hiding. Are you blaming someone today? Today is the day to drop that argument. It doesn't matter if there's truth in what you're saying. You understand? What matters is by putting the blame on them, you're giving up authority that God wants you to have. What about what God wants you to do today? Number three, am I acting like God changed his mind? Right? We switch gears. God says, I want you to do this. So many people give up the call of God. They give up their family, right? They give up important things that God said, this is what I have for you. But when life gets hard, because we hide and blame, we actually forfeit the future of God for our lives. In Jesus' name today, how many know God can turn it around by his mighty power? Come on, somebody say amen. So the Bible compares foolishness with wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is like a tree. And when it comes to wisdom, what we have to understand is that wisdom is like a tree. It takes stages for the tree to grow. And here's the way it works with wisdom. Wisdom grows. Wisdom endures and wisdom bears fruit. Wisdom grows, wisdom endures, and wisdom bears fruit. When we choose wisdom, we know that it's not immediate satisfaction. It's not like I get it all right now. You know what wisdom says? Wisdom says, I start a job with $15 an hour, but I want to go from $15 an hour to $50 an hour, and I'm going to work hard until they give me that promotion. I'm going to get that job, and then I'm going to go from $50 an hour to $150 an hour. One day I want to get paid $1,500 an hour, but it takes time. You have to prove yourself. You have to work at it. Wisdom grows things in your life, as opposed to rampang, like my mother used to say. Listen to this, Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So my father used to say, you see that drug dealer? He's got those nice sneakers, and he's got that nice this. He said, that's going to go away in a minute. You know where that guy's going? That guy's going to jail. You know why? Because he wants the shortcut. But how many know wisdom grows things? You grow a relationship, okay? We live in the, what does the world say? The world says, hook up, swipe right, hook up, right? You meet someone, and in 3 days, you're already intimate with them, right? You can't build a healthy relationship like that. How many know wisdom says, wait, I want to grow this. I want to bless you. It's not about the immediate. It's about what God has for you in the long run. Secondly, wisdom endures. When a tree grows, it has to handle all of the elements. What it means is that wisdom will always be tested. Wisdom is always tested. And when you choose to do what's right, just know there will be a space between that choice and what turns out for the good. And when you're going for that, you're going to have to wait and say, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God, I don't care. I believe God. I don't care what you say, I believe God. I want to do things God's way. I'm going to go God's way. I remember, I've said this before, I'll never forget. I remember the time when it changed. Look, I grew up in an ungodly home. I remember the time when it changed. When it went from, we were on staff at Brooklyn Tab, and my dad, who was a wonderful man, taught me a lot of great stuff. But my dad was talking to one of the pastors, who was Cuban, and he said, he's talking to the Cuban guy, and he goes, man, aren't you happy your son is a pastor? And he goes, so this guy used to be a superstar. Gave it up for religion. He's saying this to a pastor. And me and the pastor, we're laughing our heads off. You know what I mean? We're just laughing. But I remember the day my dad was like, you know what? You chose good. You chose right. How many know if you do it God's way, over time, everyone will see that following God is the best way. Could we put our hands together and say, yes, Lord? But you got to stick with it. You see, there's pressure on people right now. There's pressure to give up God's way. In the name of Jesus, don't give up the way of wisdom. In the name of Jesus, don't forfeit the way of wisdom. Don't receive that demonic suggestion. Don't follow the Lord. Don't honor God. Don't read your Bible. You got to work more to make more money. No, you don't. You need the windows of heaven to open up over your life and for God to bless you. Because what good is having all of the stuff in the world, but lacking peace and joy and the goodness of God? Wisdom grows, wisdom endures, and we'll close with this. And then wisdom is fruitful. Here's the way it goes. You see, even though wisdom takes time, it starts to work immediately. Because when you choose wisdom, you allow God to plant you in the right place as opposed to the wrong place. And when God plants you in the right place as opposed to the wrong place, all of a sudden you are positioned for the right opportunities. And how many know when you're in the right place and you've got the right opportunities, all of a sudden the blessing of God starts to be released into your life. And so wisdom will always end up rewarding you and providing. You just have to wait and endure. Right place, right time, the blessing of God will fall. Anybody here want the blessing of God to fall upon your life? Guess what? We have to choose the tree of life. There's a way to do all kinds of things. And there's a wise way and a foolish way. So here's the last thing I'll say. Wisdom compounds. So you can start to grow your relationship with wisdom. You can grow your skills, and your skills will compound. Your relationship will compound. Your finances will compound. Do you know there was an article in the Times, LA Times, of a teacher? She died at 87. And guess what she did? She saved money her whole life. She was just a saver. She wasn't a big spender. She was a big saver. So she gets older, and somebody says, hey, you're older now. We better look at how much money you have. And the lady said, how much money do you think you have? She said, I don't know. Maybe I got about $40,000 put away. Guess how much she had put away? $6 million. How did she save? Just a teacher. How did she save all that money? A little out of time, because wisdom grows, endures, and then releases an incredible blessing upon our lives. Little by little, little is much when God is in it. Wherever you are today, one move towards wisdom brings the blessing. And I'll look at this is the last and such a fantastic promise. James chapter 1 says this. If any of you lacks, everyone, wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In other words, even if you've made bad decisions, even if things have not gone well, no matter where we find ourselves, if we just ask and say, God, give me wisdom for my heart, for my friendships, for my career, for my marriage, for my parenting, Lord, for my ministry, for my calling, whatever it is, if we will just ask. You know what the Bible says? God won't say, oh, but you didn't listen to me yesterday, or you this or you that. You know what he says? He says, since you ask for wisdom, I will give it to you generously.